Oh, did you?
Yeah,
like, hey, don't you?
I was like, am I gonna try it? Can I try and stay?
Yeah, right? It's so nice there.
It is nice.
Yeah, stop. So I love this movie.
Thank you.
It is like ethereal and like mysterious and like just and very heavy.
It's very heavy, yeah.
It's very heavy.
Yeah.
Did you know the history of the town prior to reading the script?
No, I didn't prior to reading the script. And actually, I was just remembering this morning, like when I got sent the script, they didn't advertise the fact that it was based on true events. It wasn't kind of like, this is a movie about, you know, Bridget. It wasn't, because it had a different title. It wasn't called Bridget.
Got it.
It had a different working title. And so I read, you know, I had this summary that said, you know, set against the backdrop of teen suicide in South Wales or something. And I mentioned it to a friend of mine, and he was like, that's about Bridget.
So he had heard.
He had heard, yeah. And I hadn't, you know, I don't know why, but for some reason I hadn't heard. And he and my friend was like, oh no, you should look that up before you go to a meeting. You know, luckily I was kind of informed about it. And so, yeah, so then I started to do some research and, I mean, was, yeah, kind of, like, fascinated and really upset to read all this stuff. And, I was somewhat apprehensive about whether I wanted to be involved, just because until I met Yepa, I was worried, kind of, I thought the script was really beautiful, but I also thought, like, how is this going to be shot? Is this going to feel exploitative? Is it going to feel like someone's just trying to shock people? Is it hurting me? And it was when I met him and I said, it was the most important question for me, was why do you want to make this movie? And when he talked about reading this, that he'd read this article, and then immediately he went there. And then the fact that he'd spent so long researching it and that he'd gotten to know them, the people in the community, and the fact that we were shooting there, and I knew that we had permission from the local community to shoot there, that felt, you know, that felt very important. I don't think we could have made the movie anywhere else.
Yeah.
And by the time we were ready to start shooting, I felt like, you know, this is going to be a really, really compassionate and really brave exploration of this subject.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's very bold to even approach the subject of suicide on its own.
Yeah.
But to sort of be in an area where it actually exists en masse is a whole other level. How was it filming on location? Did that feel, I mean, that must have changed the emotional dynamic for you immediately.
Yeah. When we were still, so we rehearsed for, I had dinner with Yepa and Michelle in London before we started, and Yepa kept saying, when you go there, you'll see, when you go there, you'll understand, when you go there, as soon as I went there, I realized that I'd been trying to sort of read the script over and over again and being really like head about it, you know, really like thinking and analyzing and what does this mean and why do they do that. And then I got there and I was like, I felt all this stuff. I didn't have to think about it suddenly. And that was the most helpful thing. And it's not necessarily stuff that I can really put into words
right.
It feels to be there, but it's something, it's a really beautiful place.
It looks gorgeous.
And I think particularly, you know, the way that, our DOP here is a genius, and the way that Manus shot it looks particularly beautiful, but I remember that the place where I do the horse riding, the first day I was just like, this, why do people not come and like in swarms?
Is this
not
a tourist town?
Like, yeah. It's so beautiful. But, it's so beautiful, but very bleakly beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's this constant, there's this mist of the town like, all the time, which was very oppressive.
Mm.
There's also something about being in a valley that, you know,
right.
I mean, Yepa said last night at our Q&A, he was like, we didn't have to say that these characters are trapped. You can see.
Yeah, they're physically trapped. Yeah.
And I grew up in a pretty big city. I grew up in Bristol, which is actually where the characters from.
Yeah.
I grew up in a big city, and then I moved to London after university, so I've always been in places where there are a million things to do and a million opportunities, and was, you know, we're almost always filming in this village, Ponte Cama, which has, you know, it's a small place, and they have like a supermarket, a rugby club, a police station, and that's kind of it. And I was understanding what it would feel like to be much more
sheltered, isolated
and sheltered, and and just not, you know, not be able to go like, oh, I'm going to get on the bus and go to the cinema and watch one of all these, you know, just having much more limited options. And it was wonderful. I'd never worked in something before where the geography of the town was real for our movie. So we had Sarah and Dave's house where we filmed a huge amount of stuff, but you could walk to Danny's house, and you could walk to Jamie's house, and you could walk to the church. You know, everything kind of really fit together as a real town. And you know, we would sort of, sometimes we would sort of go like for little walks around the village on our lunch break, and so you just felt like, I felt like I started, and we were there every day, I started to feel like we really lived there almost. So that was incredibly helpful to, it really felt like I was a person existing in a real place, rather than sometimes, you know, you shoot in a city or whatever, and everything's kind of, you're like, there's my next door neighbor actually lives like
right
the other side of town,
or it's, and, just a complete set,
which is a different thing.
Did you guys actually have any interactions with the townspeople? Because I'm just curious if, you know, what their feelings were as you were there.
Yeah, I mean, most of our extras were from either from the town we were filming in or from nearby. And we obviously, we were shooting in real houses, so we met people that lived in those houses. I mean, it wasn't, I don't remember having any kind of
pushback or
big, definitely not. Everyone was really, really supportive of the project and really interested, but I don't remember having any kind of really like in-depth conversations, like, you know, just because you wouldn't, we just talked about other stuff, so I everyone was really friendly and really, really nice, and really interested, but no one was kind of, we didn't have any kind of like, so let's talk about the fact that we're doing, you know, it wasn't, there were no kind of like forced conversations.
That's
about that.
Gotta make things a little bit easier. It just seems, it's such a touchy subject. I mean, you're literally entering where they live and personally experience these things, and for them to sort of, you know, to be opening, you know, open-armed to you, I think is really important. Made everybody's life a little bit easier.
Of course, yeah. And I, you know, and I wouldn't have wanted to be
intrusive.
If, you know, if I was working in an environment where I could tell that everyone didn't want us to be there, I mean, I guess I would have had to carry on. Well, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to do the movie under those circumstances. That would have felt horrible.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been right to make that movie under those circumstances.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we had to shoot it there, but we also had to shoot it there with people's permission. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You have like this emotional responsibility.
Yeah.
Because it's so heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were reading the script, did you foresee the emotional journey of your character? Because I did not see it coming.
Yeah, no, the script, there's quite a lot that we shot that's not in the final
script. Got it.
Mm-hmm. So the journey that I read the script is slightly different. There's a lot more, there was a lot of stuff we shot that I think it's definitely works that we lost it, but there was a lot more stuff about the mother.
Interesting.
There was a lot more of Sarah and Dave talking about, or Dave not wanting to talk about, but Sarah trying to talk about the mother a lot more. What I really like is that I can still see it all in my performance. It still informs everything I did.
Right.
But it's actually better that it isn't spoken,
yeah.
I mean,
it's definitely part of your full backstory that we don't need, because it still works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did find, I read that script so many times because I found it really hard to understand, and there were things that felt like, quite often, it took me so, I was just like, but why does she do that, I don't understand, and yeah, she seems sometimes that she takes these kind of odd leaps, and this was actually the first time I ever worked with an acting coach was for this project. I always used to think that was cheating.
Right. I can't do it on my own.
If I can't do it on my own, then I shouldn't be allowed to do it.
Right.
But I was really scared about this. I really, really wanted to do a good job. And I was also, I'm not a very good crier. Mm. And I really knew that I was, I knew that Yepa wanted everything to be for real. So I knew he wasn't going to let me get away with anything. So I really wanted to feel prepared. So I went to an acting coach and he said something that I thought was so smart. He was like, actors come to me sometimes and they say, like, my character wouldn't say this. And he said, if the character you're playing wouldn't say this, then you're playing the wrong character. You need to find the character that would say this and be that person.
Right.
And then he said something which I think is really true. He was like, often, like, it's the line that you think, I don't know how to do this, like, this, someone wouldn't behave this way. Once you find that, once you get that, that's going to be the key to everything.
Right.
And I felt like there were a few things I had real hang-ups about that, going into it, I thought, well, we're going to have to change. Particularly for me, the moment when she, when Danny tries to rape her. And afterwards, he says, I'm sorry, and she puts her hand on his shoulder. I was absolutely not. This is a, like, this is, he's just like, this, she cannot be comforting him. She cannot, like, we can't do this. It sends this awful message. It's not, it's against everything I believe in, and this is not how women behave. And I was really, really smart. And there were a couple of other moments as well, which actually aren't in the script. There's a moment where Sarah gets slapped by Thomas's mother.
Yes.
Well, no, there's a scene where she gets slapped by the father, but there was another scene which we cut where I get attacked by Thomas's mother.
Interesting.
And Sarah doesn't do anything. She just lets it happen. And these, oh yeah, and I was going like, who is this girl? She's like, she's not a real person. She's crazy. Like, who acts like that? And then once I was like, oh no, that's who she is. That's when you need to realize, like, I'm playing a girl who, after someone has tried to, has almost raped her, she will comfort him because she realizes that he feels good, but that's who this person is.
Right.
And so that was the most exciting thing for me, was the sudden realization of, yeah, of who she was, how giving she is, and how loving she is, and how selfless really she is. And I mean, strange, I think, is that she has this weird relationship with her father where she can be so forgiving of everyone else, and then with him, nothing.
Right.
But, you know, I that helped me, that in every scene I just knew that she was so good. I felt like she was, like,
inherently good.
And good in a way that I definitely am not, you know, like, I really fell in love with her. I think it's one of the most beautiful roles I'll ever get to play. I think she's so amazing. And so I really just wanted to live up to her, if that makes sense. I felt myself, I was like, I hope some of this goodness will transfer onto me.
Right.
You know. Yeah, so that was the most exciting thing for me, was realizing that, and then you could motivate all kinds of very strange behaviors.
Yeah, exactly.
That they came from this place of love.
Yeah.
And that's what Yepa always said, that was what she represents, and that's why some people in the community find her so hard, she's such a threat to them, because she just comes out and just throws, like, love and compassion at everyone, and that's, for a lot of people, that's a really scary, like, when she goes to see Thomas the night before, and he's going to attempt suicide, it's like, she's like the scariest person for him to encounter, because she's meeting him with this totally different energy.
Right. I find that, and I totally understand your intellectual pushback when mm-hmm. you're just reading it flat on the page.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us would like to believe that we are a certain way until we are faced with a situation like that.
Yeah.
And I think most of us are damaged in one way or another, and we all have emotional baggage. So as women, we, you know, in this age, we want to feel like we're strong enough to deal with certain situations in a mindset that we think we are in.
Yeah.
But in reality, until you're in that scenario, you don't know how you're going to react.
Exactly.
So I think that's very brave of you to allow yourself to not change the script, because I think it's easier to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really interesting that you worked with a coach. I mean, it's one, you'd never know, so compliments to both of you. And I think it's a very, very brave performance, and it's such a, it, because it's such a heavy and important subject, I applaud you for that. So that's really, really very impressed. And because it's blatantly, I mean, a movie about teen suicide, have you been approached or thought about speaking on the topic, or because it's tough, it's touchy.
It is touchy, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't been approached. Anyway, I have. So when I was 17, my first job was a series called Scandals.
Yes.
And I played an anorexic.
Yes.
In that, and that was a similar thing. You know, often when I was doing press, people wanted to talk about that. So I went to which. I was 17, and I didn't feel in any way responsible to say anything really useful or helpful or anything.
Right.
You know, I always felt really out of my depth. I had a cup. I remember once someone coming up to me and asking me to like write a message to his daughter, you know, who was struggling with and sort of was. And I remember just sort of, I did write something because I wanted to. Obviously you want to help, but I also felt like I have no idea, I'm not qualified to deal with these kind of things, you know, I'm still at school and I don't know, and what if I write something wrong, and then it felt like too much responsibility for me, and I feel very, something I do feel quite strongly about, this is talking about kind of more generally, is this idea that I don't believe because I'm an actor, that qualifies me
to be an advocate.
I think there are some actors who do incredible things in terms of charity work or humanitarian work, or who speak on various issues that they are very well informed about and very passionate about. But I would not want to start. I would only want to do something. I would only want to give my voice publicly if it was something I felt like my voice was going to really contribute. And I don't like when, sometimes you see in the UK quite often you know, actors doing documentaries about things because they've played a role and they sort of, you know, I would feel like I would be such an awful person to say that because I did a movie for a month and a half and pretended to be someone going through these things that I have any real understanding. You know? Like I hope that I did a good job. I hope that people respond well to the movie and people can take things from it and it makes them think about things in new ways. But that's as far as I feel like I can have a responsibility. I don't see myself as an activist or a, you know, I wouldn't. There's not just on teen suicide, on any topic, I wouldn't want to, unless I really knew my stuff,
right,
want to start making statements and claims and
trying
to, you know, that's not, I'm an actor, I'm not a psychologist or a youth worker or any of those things.
Right.
That's my feeling on it.
No, I think that's responsible of you.
Good.
Yeah, no, I was just curious because I feel like when an audience member gravitates towards a certain character, you know, a lot of times they see you as that character, or even will reference you as that character and say, oh, you know, I want to reach out. And so I think there's a great responsibility with being an actor, who plays roles that are, you know, relevant issues and things like that. So I applaud you again for that, for not sort of being like, well, now I know everything about anorexia and suicide. And so it's really nice to hear. It's very refreshing that you're not grandstanding and feel like you can. And so that's awesome. They're probably going to steal you, I assume. You're super booked.
Yeah, everyone seems very relaxed.
Yeah, it's good. Game of Thrones is back, which is very exciting.
Yes.
Do you feel like, with Game of Thrones, do you feel like coming to the U.S. and maybe Canada, do you feel you're more recognized? Because you look so different in person than on screen for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Do you get recognized?
I do. And I didn't think I would. I remember saying to Dan Weiss, I was like, but no one's going to recognize me because I have brown hair and I have blonde hair in real life.
Right.
He was like, they will. And they do. I think I'm probably
I'm probably more under the radar than some of it. Like, particularly when I'm filming in Belfast, quite often I'll be with the Kit and Kit, John, yeah. And John Bradley, and people will spot them and either not spot me at all, or it takes the, or they'll kind of be talking to those guys, and then they suddenly go, "Oh, you're in it as well." Yeah. Which I, and also I, John always kind of like, because he knows that I don't like having my picture taken, so he usually like drops me in it, and he's like, "You have to take a picture of him as well." But yeah, no, so it's I definitely I'm not as visible as some of the other cast members who get it like really. They kind of can't go anywhere without people.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I was, yeah, I'm not such a like. Lead role on the show as well, but even with all those things, I still do get recognised from Game of Thrones, and I always think like people really love that show, that they're so switched on to like, so even like people recognise me with red hair. Mm-hmm. And, like people.
Do you think they recognise you physically, and then once they hear your voice, they're like, oh God, like
maybe I don't know. But yeah, no. So it's interesting. There's definitely some. Very dedicated fans of that show, and we're very, very grateful.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Have you read the books, by the way?
I've read some of them.
Yeah, same.
When I started doing the series, I had this policy that I was gonna read them as we did them. I was gonna, I read, started on season two, and I read book one and two, and
right.
Then before season three, I read book three. And then I really love watching the show. I really love watching
it's
the
so
show.
It's so wonderful.
And I really liked when there were sort of moments. You know, so obviously the things that had happened in the books, when I'd watch it, I really enjoyed those. Like, I knew what was going to happen with the Red Wedding. I knew what was going to happen when Joffrey died. I knew those things were going to happen. And whenever there were moments that were off book, because I don't read the scripts, I just read my own scenes.
Right.
I enjoyed it so much more because I was surprised by it. And so I decided that this season five was the first time I've really tried to know as little as possible. Which is, first of all, a good policy in terms of it means that I can't get in trouble for saying things in interviews.
That's true.
But it also, yeah, I'm really excited this time. I'm really going to, like, watch the show as a fan.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, I know some things.
Of course.
I know some things, but I tried to, like, when other cast members will start talking about, I mean, you know what happens. And I'm like, no, don't tell me.
Yes, no, yeah.
So as much as I can, I'm trying not to be spoiled.
That's smart. I think you can, you know, be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
With the masses.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have an opportunity? I mean, you're obviously super busy. Mm-hmm. Because I hear that you are literally here for, what, like 24 hours?
Yeah.
Which, thank you for coming. It's very much appreciated.
I love New York so much. I'm so sad I can't be here for
you. Know. Well, you know, at some point you'll come back.
I'm coming back in May.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Perfect. Well, that's exciting. But are you allowed to talk about what you're working on now or what's coming up next for you?
Yeah, I'm allowed to talk about. I think I am. I'm doing a movie in Mexico City at the moment. That's what I'm flying back to Mexico.
Wow.
This afternoon, and it's about the assassination of Trotsky.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's why I have the red hair.
Very
and,
nice.
I don't know if you know much about the.
Not enough.
I didn't know any. I mean, yeah. I knew that Trotsky lived in Mexico for a while and was assassinated.
That's about it.
So it's basically, it tells the story of Ramon Mercador, who was the assassin, who was a Spanish communist, who's a GPU agent, and he lived undercover as a Belgian businessman for about 2 years, had a relationship with my character Sylvia Agloff. Who was Trotsky's secretary, one of Trotsky's secretaries.
Wow.
And it's this amazing, I mean, it's one of those, like, I remember reading the script and being like, and this is all true, it's all
happening.
It's amazing. That it's so, I mean.
It's just intriguing.
It's like heartbreaking, this relationship that they were engaged, they were together for 2 years, he met her family, and the whole time he was doing it to get close to Trotsky. And
that's heartbreaking.
And then he, you know, not only, it's this, I can't imagine the level of betrayal, but not only is she finds out that he's lied to her, that they weren't, but also he killed the man that represented all of her ideals and everything. So yeah, so it's an amazing, it's one of those, you know, I mean, for me, most of the film plays out as a love story,
right.
But the audience will always know
right.
what his real motives are, so that all the scenes are very interesting, you know, kind of like, there's always another level of work. So I'm trying as hard as I can to not know that there's another level.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, so we've just shot our first week in Mexico.
And then we, now for another month, and we go to Barcelona to do.
Oh, that would be nice. Have you been to Barcelona?
Yeah, I have, but I went with my parents like over 10 years ago for a really short trip, so I'm excited to see.
Like as a grown up. Yeah. To do it as that, on your own and sort of experience. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
That'll be a treat.
Yes.
That's not terrible. Well, I'm sure that they're probably reading. Been here for half an hour.
It's been lovely.
I'm sure somebody else is on the docket. Loving, dying to talk to you. When do you leave? Tonight, right?
5 p.m.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Have a great flight. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, no, I'm
very excited to talk about the film, and I think it's just. Everybody's been talking about it since we saw it at the screening.
Yeah.
And we were actually lucky, we saw it a couple weeks ago. It was the first evening of pre-screenings. And we're so taken with it as a whole, but the ending for us, we're all talking about the ending.
Right.
And no one can quite agree on like what it means,
yeah.
What's happening,
yeah.
which is so great because it's such a conversation piece,
yeah.
Regardless of, even if you forget that it's real, and then to be reminded at the end that it is real, just really takes your breath away, and
yeah,
it's a stunning piece, and
thank you so much. You should be proud of it. I'm really, yeah. It's,
yeah.
I think I'm. It's probably the thing I'm most proud of.
That's great.
It's just really. It's been really nice to talk to people now who've seen it, because for so long I knew about it and never seen it.
You're like, I can't talk about this.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, have a good flight. It was so nice,
yeah, it was really nice
seeing you again.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you properly,
hopefully we will talk again.
I hope so. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.